This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
A weekend stabbing in Virginia and federal authorities investigating if there's a connection to ISIS. Joining us now is Sebastian Gorka, author of Defeating Jihad. I've got to get this in, Sebastian. That man that we just put on TV, he was shouting, Allahu Akbar. I'm going to say that was a terror attack because he picked on somebody to try to behead him. Am I legit on this, Sebastian? Can I say, yeah, that was terror? Can I say that?
I think first we have to find out, Stuart, whether somebody called him bad names in kindergarten.
Sarcasm is a low form of wit, but you make your point. So it's here again. Put this in perspective for us, Sebastian.
Yeah, glad to. So let's put laughing aside.
Yeah.
If this man turns out to be a jihadi who has some kind of connection, inspired or operational, to ISIS, and his travel to Turkey really leads one to that summation, because Turkey is the jumping off point for ISIS fighters going into Syria. If that is the case, Stuart, then this attack would represent the 109th individual arrested or killed on U.S. soil since ISIS declared the caliphate 2 years ago. So it's 109, Stuart.
Wow, that's now. This should be a political question to Hillary Clinton and President Obama. What is their response to the 109th attack, arrested or killed in the United States? But I don't think it will be.
Well, Hillary doesn't play golf, so I'm not sure if we'll see her on the golf course. But
sorry.
The fact is, she was painted into a corner after the Nice attack. For the longest time in the stump speeches, she said, I'm not going to talk about Islam, not going to use the word jihad. When 80 people were killed in France, she, for the first time ever, she used this peculiar phrase, radical jihadism, as if there's some kind of nice jihadism. Yeah. So we will see what her response will be. I think maybe she's getting the message that this is a problem and Americans want to hear solutions.
Okay, now,
well, you know, of course, we just heard Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who's been on with us many times, talking with Stuart Varney with Varney and Company, and breaking this down. And this is what drives the experts absolutely batty, and we the people who, we're not directly involved here in terms of, you know, the expertise and the strategy against radical jihad and radical Islam, the way it's attacking us. I mean, they've declared war. America says, so what? And now here we are. We're on the 109th incident here in the United States of America. This is no longer an existential threat, ladies and gentlemen. We address it because we address it as such, as a existential threat, because we're listening to the politicians. You know, Barack Obama says, hey, we've got it all under control here. And then we find out that his security advisors have kind of been tipping the scales and giving the president what he wants to hear. And of course, the president can say, well, you know, yeah, I was just going off the information that was given to me. Well, but the suggestion is that he told them, don't bring me bad news. You know, I wasn't there in the meeting where that was specifically said, but that seems to be what is being communicated by some of these advisors, because they're realizing, hey, look, they're exposed here. They've put their thumb on the scale and have not been, you know, honest with the president. So what is the president doing? He's doing the very same thing that George Bush was accused of, and that it was that he was taking bad information and spreading it out to we the people, and then we're making decisions about going to war. In this case, we're making decisions about not going to war and not defending ourselves because of the wrong information. When are we going to get beyond this? When are we going to pursue the truth no matter where it leads us? When is that going to be
the object and the focus. This is the problem. I think, you know, America has a focus problem. We're missing the big point. We're focusing on the minors at the expense of the majors and putting everybody in peril.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, we're back with you, America, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Plethora of information, including podcast interviews that you want to pursue and say, you know, I got in a little bit late. I missed that interview, but I heard parts of it. By all means, go to it's all right there for you. It's there to serve you and whatever suggestions you have to make it better, because that's what we're doing it for. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Let us know your thoughts. Brantley Milligan is with us, the editor-in-chief of ChurchPOP.com, a Christian culture website in three languages, and has degrees in philosophy and theology, and is working on a PhD, because I guess we need more degrees here, Brantley, in moral theology at Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. Brantley, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Hey, you know, this issue about life and marriage, you write that it's been stalemated. Somehow, you know, we've taken a bit of a pause. The conversation has gotten, I guess, a bit tiresome. And now we find ourselves trying to live with this new definition of life and marriage in America. And you're suggesting that it has gone badly based on the empirical evidence.
Yes. And I think that there's an important reason that most people miss. And that's the ubiquitous use and acceptance of contraception in our culture. So the point of my article was to say that I think both the pro-life movements and the pro-traditional marriage movements have been adversely affected by contraception.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that they've talked about in terms of, you know, the downtrend of some of the abortions is they fail to really discuss the effect of the abortifacient, you know, drug that has come into play over the last couple of years, haven't they not?
Yeah, I mean, that is a big issue. My point's actually a little bit more broad than that. I argue that contraception encourages men and women to have sex even if they're not interested in having children or staying together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it supposedly makes it less likely they'll have children, although contraception actually often fails. I think about 50% of all women who have abortions actually were using contraception of some kind during the month that they conceived a child. So what this does, encouraging people to have sex, which is the procreative act, even when they're not interested in having a child or sticking together, means that if they do conceive a child, they're more likely to look for an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I think that's related to the pro-life movement.
Well, and your point would be validated by the numbers that we're talking about, some 56 million abortions. And we've noted on this show that, you know, the big argument back with Roe v. Wade was about that exception, you know, the exception rule, the mother's life in danger and, you know, rape or you know, some violation on the woman. It was a very minor exception. And but when you look at the evidence and what we're reading, you know, from research, is that that part only represents today less than 2% of the abortion. So basically, America has accepted and embraced abortion more for convenience than anything else.
Absolutely. And something I think a lot of people don't know is that contraception is not that new of a thing. Contraception has actually been around for thousands of years. Christians, since the first century, were against the use of contraception. Even in the Reformation, Protestants continue to be against contraception. It was really in the early 20th century, it was Margaret Sanger who founded what eventually became Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. She really pushed for the acceptance of contraception, and Protestants and Catholics together were actually both against it. It was only in the mid-20th century that Protestants started to accept that. And what a lot of people don't realize is, although we think of the sexual revolution happening in the 60s, and there was an important moment there, really it had its antecedents in the early 20th century with the acceptance of contraception in American society.
Well, Brantley, you bring something up that, you're saying, hey, let's go back. This is a much broader consideration in terms of defending life. If you're a defender of life, we got to go all the way back, and not just when there's pregnancy. It's like, what happens, in terms of our respect? If we're not going to be respecter of life from its initial genesis, then how can we sit there in midstream and say, oh, okay, but I'm going to be a defender of life here? And that's your point, right?
Right. The sexual act, of course, is the procreative act. That's the life-giving act. And so if we're concerned about, the so-called unwanted pregnancies, or, people who are in situations where they so don't want a child that they're killing the child, then we need to take a step back and be like, well, where are these unwanted pregnancies coming from? Coming from people having sex when they're not prepared for a child? Well, contraception, I think, encourages that. But I think this is also connected to the traditional marriage movement as well, because I think contraception changes the meaning of the sexual act in people's minds from, instead of being something that is this full gift of self that's open to life, that's the procreative act, if you deny the procreative aspect and really the unitive aspect of sex as well with contraception by withholding parts of yourself, mm-hmm. that means that sex then becomes more of something just for pleasure, or just like a self-fulfillment thing. Yeah. If that's the case, then there's no reason why we shouldn't accept gay marriage or homosexual sex or really the pansexual movement. Mm-hmm. So I think contraception really is adversely affecting both movements. I think both movements need to take this issue on.
Well, I guess what you're saying here, and I'm not sure I would dispute your argument, your point, is that our disrespect of marriage and the sexual act has reduced it, kind of to a recreational function.
Correct. And I think contraception is not the only, factor, but I think it's a major factor. Something I would point out, in 1968, right in the thick of the sexual revolution, the pill had come out, earlier in the 1960s. This was all in full swing. And Pope Paul VI came out with his infamous encyclical Humanae Vitae, where he basically reaffirmed, the 2,000-year-old Christian teaching of, no, contraception is wrong and the Catholic Church is not going to go along with
exactly.
it. Exactly. Well, yeah. In that encyclical, he predicted if we do this, he said we're going to have a breakdown of male-female relationships. We're going to have the breakdown of the family. The government, might misuse this against people. And really, he was prophetic, because we've seen all of those effects.
And sadly, that encyclical, which should have been broken down even more so, I would say, in the Catholic Church, and and being a Catholic, and particularly at that time when that came out, it seemed a bit myopic and oppressive, as opposed to a healthy warning, which echoes to this day, and as you say, a rather prophetic encyclical, and that which he warned us about is now being realized. We're seeing it in our lives today, and it's just I remember that time, Brantley, and I got to tell you, there was just so much misunderstanding about that encyclical, sadly.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and giving your point of view, and I know that it's going to cause people, I would hope, that it causes people not to just flat out reject it on the surface, but for them to consider what it is that you've shared with us. Brantley Milligan, editor-in-chief of churchpop.com. Brantley, thank you so much. This is Bill Martinez. We're live 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2-2 weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuzena, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuzena because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuzena Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2-2 weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
You know, we've all heard about the health benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in the fatty tissues of fish? Bill Martinez Live recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. Insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You gotta shake, shake, shake. Let's get shake, shake, shake. Brand new looks so good on you. So shake like you've been shake. Come on and shake.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. And you know, as we say here, in the absence of fact and truth, opinion rules, and we're trying to advance opinion. So We give you the information to where you can solidify with facts and the truth the worldview that you hold to. We're going to talk about here is something that is just, you know, what ISIS has done with female captives has just been unconscionable, and it has been greatly underreported, and our next guest is bringing the focus on it. Female captives, for example, are being sold and traded by cash-strapped fighters, subjected to shortages of food and medicine, and put at risk by military strikes. However, as Dr. Ann Specker says, this is nothing new. She broke the story a while back, and now it continues to grow legs. Social media sites used by Islamic State fighters in recent months have included numerous accounts of the buying and selling of sex slaves, as well as the promulgation of formal rules for dealing with them. Now, ISIS has been generating millions of dollars through the sale of women and children abducted from the regions it has conquered. Now, thousands of young women and children have been kidnapped from their homes and sold into slavery in a chilling money-making operation by Islamic State leaders. Now, Dr. Ann Specker, she is the director of International Center for the Study of Violent Extremism, and she's the author of six books, including ISIS Defectors, Inside Stories of the Terrorist Caliphate. Dr. Ann, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Well, glad to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Well, good to have you here to talk about, you know, this horrific practice of ISIS and what it, you know, what it's doing here and how underreported it has been here in this country.
It is horrible. Well, we can be thankful that the coalition airstrikes have shut down ISIS's ability to pump oil, sell it through transport. They transport it by trucks and sell it illicitly, both to Assad, and they've been selling it over the Turkish border. And we've shut that down a lot through our airstrikes and the Russian airstrikes.
Mm-hmm.
But ISIS just turns to other avenues of making money, and one of them is taxation. They tax the people that live under them and steal their money. And another one is taking the Yazidi women and also other women that are the spouses of their enemies or the daughters of their enemies, so Sunni and Shia women as well, and selling them to be sex slaves. And we've seen evidence of this on actual websites where they show pictures of the women and have prices. And the arrangements are amazingly, in some cases, done through a border town, Gaziantep, in Turkey. So Turkey is a member of NATO, supposedly an ally of ours, but there's people running sex slaves, at least running the business of selling sex slaves and collecting the money inside Turkey.
And, of course, one of the things to consider here is the lure and the benefit for these jihadis that, you know, mostly young men, all of a sudden they've got sex slaves at their beck and call. So for them, it's like, hey, this is a pretty good gig. You know, I got a job here. I got money. I got women. I get sex. You know, where do I sign up, right?
Sadly, yes. I mean, I've been doing interviews for the last year with people that went to ISIS. So I've talked to some people from Western Europe. I've talked to some people from Kosovo. And actually, when I talked to some of the men in Kosovo, they told me that when they were in Syria, if you come as a foreign fighter, you're very venerated. They're very thankful to you that you came. And the Syrians offer their own women to marry you because they want you to stay. And and also to thank you. And foreign fighters get paid well according to local standards. So they have all the perks. They have the power inside ISIS. And the guys from Kosovo told us, you know, the women are covered, so we could never see these Syrian women. But when we got home, we were like, oh, my God, Syrian women are really beautiful. I should have accepted one. And I found that troubling. You know, it's just like, ugh. You know, but you're right. I mean, a man of a certain age is going to be very motivated by the possibility of having a sexual partner. And likewise, they talked to me about the sex slaves. And all of the people that I interviewed in Europe didn't have a sex slave, but they were very excited about the possibility of it, which is in my opinion, disgusting because, you know, it's not I Dream of Jeannie, some, you know, beautiful woman that wants to serve you. It's the woman that's being raped.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's a horrific, horrible thing. So, you know, I think even calling it a sex slave makes it sound attractive, but really it's systematic rape of women that are prisoners. And it's really, really horrible. We did talk to Syrians that saw this happen. We had a guard that told us that was working in ISIS, and his story is a chapter in our book, and it's also a video. We videotaped the people we interviewed, and we've cut his video into a short video clip, which you can see on our website. That's ICSVE.org, or you can see it on our YouTube channel for ICSVE. That's International Center for the Study of Violent Extremism. But in his story, he told us about having a prison where there were 450 women held and that they would let the fighters come in 10 by 10 and tuck women and take them back to their room and rape them. And in one case, the woman was raped so brutally that she died. She bled to death. And he was horrified by it. And when he went home and confessed to his sisters what he was taking part in, he wasn't raping the women himself. He was just the guard. But he was so sickened by it that they said, we have to risk everything and get out of here. So they did. And we interviewed him in Turkey. He's Syrian. And now made this video. And with our videos that we're making from the ISIS interviews, we named them names that maybe would attract somebody that's watching ISIS videos. So we called it Sex Slave, a Gift for You from Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, which sounds like a disgusting title, right? But if you're viewing ISIS films, that's what you think is fun. And but when you open it, you see, oh, my God, somebody telling this horrific story. And it, like I said, it's not I Dream of Jeannie. It's not a beautiful thing. It's really, really troubling.
And no, this is your sister. This is your mother. The girl next door that is being abused like this.
And it could be your family if you get in trouble with ISIS. And that's basically what the guy said. He said, you know, when it was Yazidis, that was one thing, because a lot of the Muslims in Syria don't believe the Yazidis are. Well, they're basically following a faith that some. I think it has pagan origin. It's not one of the monotheistic religions. So they're more comfortable disrespecting the Yazidis. But when he realized, if you become an enemy of ISIS, they take your women. And it doesn't matter if you're Sunni or Shia. So it really literally could be your sister.
Yeah.
And when he understood that, he was like, get me out of here.
Yeah, you got to go along to get along, no doubt about it. Who's ultimately in charge of this disgusting operation?
You know, that I don't know. There's one of the ISIS guys, and, you know, I have to go look up his name, but there is a guy that's in charge of it all. And, you know, I can't answer that for you. I don't keep track of who's who in ISIS. Mm-hmm. I just keep track of the stories. And I'm a psychologist, the impact on people. And also thinking, how can you use these stories to try to turn people off? Because what we're finding is that ISIS is using internet and social media to attract people to its group. So it's putting out all these films that glorify this and say, exactly as you said earlier in the interview, if you're unemployed or unhappy in your life, come to us because we're building an alternative world universe. And in this alternative world governance, Muslims are going to be dignified, and you'll have a job, you'll have power, you'll be important, you'll have purpose, you'll be married, and you'll have a sex life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dr. Ann Speckard, we're out of time. Director of the International Center for the Study of Violent Extremism, Ann Speckard on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Ann.
Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Can't help but love Carlos Santana. It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Welcome back, America. We're going to talk about the welfare state that is about to get rocked. You know that we just cannot sustain all these entitlements that elites need to have. And this is one of the things that I've been able to determine, is elites need to have an entitlement class because that's what ensures their sustainability until we get to that point where it's no longer sustainable. And consider, you know, you cannot continue to spend money like the way we have, $19 trillion and counting in debt, and think that it's going to be business as usual. But yet we have a lot of voters that are willing to say, look at, somehow in their mind, they deserve that government check. They say government check, but it's the check that we, the people, those of us who are hardworking and contributing, we've allowed them to get into the coffers, and politicians to sustain their positions in the marketplace. They take the money, our money, and they dole it out in order to ensure their electability. I mean, there's just something way wrong on so many levels about this. Our next guest, Edward Torchy Smith, the founder of Baby Boomers Talk Radio, is a certified American success story with an entrepreneurial background in business and real estate. Edward, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Okay, real good, Bill.
Hey, there's lots to talk about, but hey, can we have a little bit of fun? Let's talk. I mean, you know, your focus has been baby boomers, but you've been visiting with, you know, some stars that we grew up with, and, you know, this is kind of a side passion for you, but as we were talking about it, I thought, gosh, how much fun to talk about, you know, people that we grew up stars and where are they now kind of thing, huh?
Oh, man, it's been a blast from the past.
Yeah, exactly, as they would say, huh?
Yeah, I started with the Mouseketeers. I interviewed them, and it started with just one of them, and I got the just about every one of them. I started interviewing actors from Animal House, like Niedermeyer, mm-hmm. and Flounder, of course, which is Friends of Pinto and all the rest. Uh-huh. I then graduated to My Three Sons, boy, you name it, Dark Shadow stars. And what I do is I profile them, and of course they have a different, just like you and I, a little different opinion of where we're headed as baby boomers.
Mm-hmm. What are they seeing?
Well, for the most part, they're conservatives, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They have a different perspective of history. They talk about the fact that when they were popular, how different it was as is today. Paul Peterson has founded a group, an advocacy group, called mm-hmm. A Minor Consideration. He has about 800 former child stars and child stars of today, actually, mm-hmm. who need help because their careers were either typecasted and thrown away. Their parents took their money in the old days and spent it. And he's taken the Jackie Coogan law. Do you remember Jackie Coogan?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and ladies and gentlemen, I know you hear Paul Peterson. You go, Paul Peterson, I know that name. Donna Reed Show, of course.
Of course. I'm sorry. And, Jeff Cohn.
Right?
I'm
yes.
just assuming everybody is a baby boomer sometimes.
Right, right.
That's a mistake baby boomers make. Yes.
Yeah, because it's been all about us for so long. You know, why shouldn't it continue to be that way, right?
Yes. Yes. And he's done wonders for the rest of the baby boomer child stars. Mm-hmm. He took Jackie Coogan's law and expanded it, and it was really needed, as we all heard of some of the horror stories of child actors.
Mm-hmm.
And started with Jackie Coogan, who was the little boy with Charlie Chaplin, made mm-hmm. millions of dollars, even back in the days when $1 million meant a lot.
Yeah, when it was real money, right?
Real money. And his parents lost it all, spent it all.
Mm.
And he ended up, wait a minute, not the Munsters, I think it was, what is the program? Well, he was somebody famous as a bit part, on one of the sequels like the Munsters. And, he died, certainly not a millionaire. And, some of his relatives, of course, we're sorry to see where that happened.
Yeah,
and I even know his grandson now is taking up the cause.
Wow. Well, that is amazing. You know, when you look back and you consider, you know, the stardom situation they were in, and some of these guys made good money. Others were able to leverage. You talk about My Three Sons. You know, Fred McMurray owned a lot of property in Los Angeles. One of the things, and I enjoy his wine, from the estate there that's mm-hmm. excellent. And it was really funny because when I first, I have one of my favorite restaurants in Southern California, a restaurant that John Wayne used to frequent called Gulliver's there in Irvine, California. And the owner said, oh, we got some new wine. You got to try this out. And when he said Fred McMurray, I mean, he didn't say Fred McMurray. He said it's from the McMurray Winery. My thought was immediately, I don't know why it went to My Three Sons, because I didn't know the history. But I said, wow, this is really good wine. And then I read the label. Like, oh, my goodness, no wonder. It's Fred McMurray, you know. So so there was something there that was prescient about the glass of wine that was very tasty. So I enjoyed it.
But, funny you should mention Fred McMurray. I had supper this weekend with Stanley Livingston, his mm-hmm. TV son Chip.
Yeah, wow, yes.
And Aunt Chip and the sister. They had a sister at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Stanley came to the show as one of the originals, and then later his brother came on, Ernie. And Fred McMurray came to the studio. He didn't even need the money for the show. He mm-hmm. was already wealthy. He didn't even consider TV that much as something that he should do. And came to the studio in a station wagon in those days. Mm-hmm. And he was just a prince, according to Stanley Livingston, who was Chip. So
yeah.
Sometimes TV stories have become such nostalgia. I find them interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all, most of us do, and especially, you always see these things that come out in, People magazine, or, you get these pop-ups in your, as you're surfing the internet, and, mm-hmm. What happened to this person, and look at the difference and what they've gone through, and, the whole panoply of human stories, through this adventure from being, stars at an early age and, just some shells of themselves, others reinvented themselves,
right.
like Paul Peterson, as you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
That have been able to. Jimmy Hawkins, I don't know if you've talked to Jimmy, and
no,
Jimmy was the baby in A Wonderful Life, and
oh.
he has really honored Donna Reed and and the whole whole Wonderful Life legacy. So he's become the appointed guardian of that, and he makes sure every Christmas time that residuals are appropriately dispersed,
I talked to many of the stars. I was talking to one of them this last weekend, and he once a week he gets a check for 35 cents. Some of them are so, and they frame them as souvenirs, because in their day, most of them did not get residuals.
Mm-hmm.
You have a big hit today and a family sitcom, you're doing really good. But the era that we're talking about, 60s, 50s, mm-hmm. they got nothing.
It's and penny loafer money. That's penny loafer money there, Torchy.
Right.
That's what that is, That's
right.
Deal. But today we're talking real residual money.
Right.
I mean, even doing a commercial for McDonald's, it can pay for a lot of burgers, no doubt.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the welfare state, about ready. It is set to get rocked, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Stay with us.
Do you ever feel like you're being watched? Like someone or some company is tracking your every move online? I know I do. That's why I trust Private Internet Access VPN to keep me safe when I'm online. I use it to encrypt my traffic and use an anonymous IP address. Private Internet Access keeps your internet traffic safe from unwanted eyes so you can finally feel safe. $40 a year for peace of mind is a no-brainer. Sign up today at privateinternetaccess.com. Once again, that's privateinternetaccess.com.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. radio.recordedvideo.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
You lead, I follow. Your hand on my tomorrow. Your grip, your grace. You know the way you guide me tenderly. Yeah. When you lead, I follow. Just light the way and I'll go. Cause I know what you got for me. It's more than I can see. So lead me on.
It's Bill Martinez.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And if you happen to be with me on the Hawaiian Islands, very, very early, 3 to 6 in the morning. Welcome back, America. You know, you think about Hollywood legends like Gary Cooper, Lana Turner, Bob Hope, you know, had it all. Glamour, wealth, fame, you know, what's lacking in their life? I mean, you know, and why would they even think about needing God, you may think? Well, everything, because it's all personal, it's their lives. And Mary Claire Kendall, in her book Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends, tells the fascinating life stories of an all-star 12. It's a must-read page-turner. Makes a great present, too. And it's available on Amazon. So check it out. You know, she's been on with us, and she's due to come back, too. We have to have Mary Claire, you know, back with us to relate some of the Hollywood stories of days gone by. And speaking of which, our conversation with Edward Torchy Smith continues. He's the founder of Baby Boomers Talk Radio. He's a certified American success story with an entrepreneurial background in business and real estate. Well, Torchy, you know, just so that everybody understands, you know, your nickname Torchy, that stayed with you until third grade, until your third grade teacher says, hey, enough of this stuff. He's Edward, but, you know, Torchy, in the Cleveland area is synonymous with, Edward Smith, isn't it?
Edward Smith, including relatives. I try to use it in business, of course. They kind of transcend each other and bump into one another, and those people here just, still keep on calling me Torchy, and I'm 69 years old. So
you see, if you were Geraldo and you had a nickname like Torchy, they would just think you're just full of salsa and just, you know, mucho caliente, you know, and you know, but Torchy, as you said, was a name that was you know, given to you
right
you know by the attending nurse.
Yeah, Fabian isn't Fabian, I know.
Yes, right.
You see him on the street, they call you Fabian. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, Torchy has red hair, and when he was born, right, he had red hair, and
right,
and the nurse says, here's your torch, as she presented young Torchy to his mother for the first time. How much fun was that, huh?
Right. Well,
exactly.
Can get into trouble also. They always remembered my name, whether it was good or bad.
There's just something unique about having red hair. It's hard to be, you know, not standing out in the crowd with red hair, but, yay, this has been your life, and
right,
with Baby Boomers Radio, it's been a lot of fun for you, but, on the serious side,
yeah,
is looking at what is going on here, for the next generation, the millennials, who are, you know, paying for baby boomers as we continue to retire. And then, you know, we, for the most part, baby boomers have been hardworking. We have, you know, pursued our dreams and enjoyed a lot of the freedoms that this country has given us. And millennials, I'm sad to say, have kind of been derivated off the hard work ethic that we were raised on, and have been, you know, fortressed by this welfare state entitlement minded society in which we're growing into. And I think they may end up finding out what Margaret Thatcher said long ago, is the problem with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money.
Well, not all millenniums are lost, but yes, the difference is we had parents that taught us how to get a job, taught us a sense of history. You know, our parents either were affected by World War II or the Depression.
Depression, right.
And they sat us down and talked about that, and it was passed on to us. I doubt if millenniums have parents who sit them down at their table and say, listen, Johnny, get that earring out of your nose. This
right.
is how you dress for an interview. And this is what you go through in a work habit, getting
right.
up in the morning, dressing a certain way, speaking a certain way. What do you want to call it, training just doesn't exist anymore. And that isn't even trained in school. I mean, you don't get anything like that in school because the teachers of the school, most of them now are liberal. They came from the Vietnam generation that went from demonstrating into teaching. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, you got to have your safe space. I mean, the problems with millennials, I see it, Torchy, is that they don't hear no enough. See, you and I, when you and I were growing up, the answer was no.
Yeah.
And if we wanted to make it a yes, then we had to figure out a way to come up with an answer. But millennials today, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you don't get no for a trophy. You get a trophy. You know, it's always yes for the millennials until one day they're going to hear no, that we're all out of money. And then what's going to happen?
Well, I'm not going to be here, hopefully, but my grandchildren are going to be affected. And I think when I talk to my friends who are baby boomers, they always talk about their grandchildren and what they're going to go through in life.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's our concern. I just had another radio interview where we discussed that, and I don't have an answer. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think, and it's my own personal opinion, I think it's going to get so bad that, you know, you have to reach bottom before you get better, like an alcoholic.
Exactly.
You're going to reach bottom, and either there'll be a revolution or something's good is going to happen out of this. So I'm not giving up hope. You could slow down creeping socialism. It started with FDR, and in those days, the programs that were handed out to people, whether it was to build roads or whatever projects were going on in the National Recovery Act, started this. It wasn't shovel-ready jobs like today's shovel-ready jobs. And it's going to get better because you can't have all shovel-ready jobs. You can't have socialism. And some of the people today don't know the difference between socialism and capitalism. They just don't know.
Well, you know, the educational system, sadly, has done a disservice for these young kids. They've indoctrinated them, you know, into safe spaces, and everybody gets a trophy, and it's all warm
right.
and fuzzy. And as I said, you know, they don't hear no very often. You know, it's almost like it's been removed from the vocabulary. Cause
and when it comes to money and business, they're going to hear no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's going to be a shock to them.
I mean, as it is, you know, for those that have already entered the job force, you know, my daughter, she goes, Dad, what happened? My paycheck, look at all these taxes. And I go, sadly, honey, you're paying, you know, into Social Security, something you're not even going to probably realize, and you're just paying for your dad because the politicians opened up the lockbox and they stole the money,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of it. And they just cannot handle all that money sitting there, and they've abused it. But of course, they're all attorneys, so they know how to stay out of jail, right?
Yeah, well,
do I sound cynical?
A little, but
it's just like
all,
you said.
I don't think all that. I think some of them come around. I've talked to many of them. I talk to a lot of golf cart girls. And you know, they're all in college and they're all home for the summer. And some of them are Republican type of thinking fiscally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, forget socially. You know, those are Supreme Court issues. And they get attached to those sound bites. They're all about the sound bites because they have 20 other things going on their cell phones, and they can listen to the Kardashians anytime they want and just tune all this out. Right. So that's why the sound bites are so important for the 20% that are undecided. But the cart girls I talked to and some other college people I'm talking to now are starting to get the fact that they come home just like your daughter, and the paychecks are not what they thought they were, and they're starting to understand it. So I'm not all that discouraged, but the smarter ones, just like every other generation, the smarter ones are going to do better.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take advantage of it.
Well, they are. They have the potential to do that, but if the system gets so rigged towards you, that's what I'm concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
If we're so entitlement heavy and so socialistically inclined, then it blunts the ability for hardworking people, you know, the ones that are willing to, you know, put in that extra time to realize the full benefit of their giftings and talents and their hard work at the expense of everybody else.
There's no class courses how to get ahead with your own entrepreneurial ideas and start a store or start a business.
Exactly.
That dream is what gets me and is being diminished every day, so...
Well, and I'm glad you said dream, because that's what I think needs to be put out there. And it's not going to be 100%. You know, 100% of the people don't get it. But it's going to be that top 10%
right.
that understand that dreams are significant and they're worth fighting for, because they're going to torment you.
Right.
Just like you and me. They wake you up at 3:00 in the morning and say, "What have you done with me lately?"
Right.
And they dog you until you get on course, right?
Right. Remember hearing about Horatio Alger stories?
Yes.
And during the Depression, our parents talked about those. Maybe I'm a little bit older than you. But the rags to riches, and I don't mean being a rock star or a athlete, rags to riches. People actually were rags to riches from doing something to help the economy.
Yeah, help the economy and help others, because that's what it's all about. It's about serving, and we get paid incidentally for providing a service and helping others realize their dreams, right?
Right. And I hope everybody, if you want to go to my Facebook page to become a Facebook friend, you'll see a lot of video and inserts about baby boomers, and that's Torchy Smith. You go to TorchySmith, and www.babyboomerstalkradio.com.
Well, Edward Torchy Smith, founder of Baby Boomers Talk Radio, has been with us. Torchy, thank you so much. Look forward to having you back. That's a wrap for us. Thank you for sharing a part of your day with us. We'll see you mañana right here on the SDG Radio Network.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
We use mobile devices.